Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. We got a great show lined up for you. Part four of the royal blood. Going to talk about the literal royal blood of one that came to ransom back that which was stolen from Adam. You see, Adam had the keys to the earth. He had the command to rule over it. And so the title contract was given to Adam, but was expertly, by a wise and crafty serpent named Satan, the arch-rival enemy of our Creator, the fallen one, is now in war and battle. You say, oh, I don't believe in a literal Satan. That's just a figment of your imagination. It means a poser. It means this. It means that. Ladies and gentlemen, with all of the activities on the earth, if you only in this life have hope, if you don't believe that there is a royal battle, and it's all fought right now in the genetic minefield of man, and the gods that surround or are over us or rule over us. We give away the store. We had it. We had eternal life. We was going to never die. And this was wrestled away, not by the deception of deceiving Adam, but by the deception of receiving and deceiving the weaker vessel from Adam, a byproduct, the woman. Satan masterminded the key to genetic futures of his race in the earth. He ensured himself of continuous sensory after sensory after sensory, centuries upon centuries of eons of time guaranteed before Yahweh himself would actually come as a kinsman redeemer of Adam. We're talking about direct kin here. We're talking about close kin. Adam was the son of Yahweh. So we needed a redeemer. Adam needed a redeemer. You see, he voluntarily stayed here with Eve. He could have went back into the fifth dimension, like I said, and lived happily ever after. But he could have all those psychological problems that go along with one half of the equation being here and he himself being somewhere else and never to be reunited, because that was the choice that he was given. And the only choice, and Satan, the mighty archangel, the powerful genetic manipulator, knew of the consequences when this came about. And so Adam had to knowingly, stay here and take the punishment that was given out. But he got a covenant contract promise. He just asked the Father, Father, am I forever going to be banished from your presence? Am I forever going to have to live on the earth in a continuous cycle of birth and death, birth and death, birth and death? Am I forever going to be lost? And the Father replied to Adam, I will redeem you from the earth back from which you came and receive you unto myself. This is a covenant promise. This has always been written. It's the scarlet thread. This is sewed in blood genetics. I'm going to give you some interesting scriptures. Let me sing you a little song here. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel tree he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the tree he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Ladies and gentlemen, that just sums it up of what we're talking about here tonight in part four. Now, if you'd like to have this entire 8-tape series, we're doing some on WWCR and others on other media exchanges. So if you'd like to have the complete set when we're through with this, you can have it in 2 parts. The first 4 set will be ready tonight. After we finish up part 4, you can order this first part set of the royal bloodline of Yahweh. We're going to prove to you that Yahweh incarnated into the earth in a body and gave his blood as a witness covenant to buy back as a kinsman redeemer the sin debt that Adam could not pay. You see, it was impossible for Adam to pay the debt. The Bible said that heavens were searched, the earth was searched, and beneath the earth was searched, and there was no one found worthy. I mean, this is a complete search. It went out through all the earth, in the earth, under the earth, and in the heavens. No one found worthy. Yahweh, looking at the law that he had written, Satan, the prosecuting attorney, reminding Yahweh that no one could come back with sin laying at their door until it was finally redeemed. You see, Satan knew the final clause of the contract, that he would genetically, master strategist as he is, that he would play the master chess move and finally get it down after generations of trial and conviction. Satan, then the prosecuting attorney, under God's own law, he condemned everything that came back before the throne of creation. Everything that came back was unworthily participating in a plan that could never redeem. So here it is in the facts of the book of Ruth. We get our key scripture from Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 25, and it's an amazing event, and it talks about that if someone became poor and wretched and indebted to where he had to sell off his birthright property, remember the earth is Yahweh's, and we are the stewards wrote in the heart of Yahweh through trust. So we have a trust package written exclusively by Yahweh, we signed on, and we'd be good stewards of the possession. And yet we found ourselves deeper and deeper into debt. Usury came aboard. We loved the heathen. We loved the gods of the world. And we went a-whoring, separated from the safety net, if you will, and the blessing pack of the covenant of two for and about the house of Israel. And we wasted our substance. Now we've got two items here to look at, the law and the new covenant. The law in it was weak in the flesh. There was nothing wrong with the law. The law was spiritual. And as long as man could obey it in spiritual revelation terms, he could keep himself out of the indebtedness to Satan. But by falling into the carnal trap of Satan, we lost our spiritual ability to discern between right and wrong, and we went a-whoring, if you will, separated from the commonwealth, and became indebted in sin. Now, the blood of goats and bulls was substituted. Never was it to redeem man. It would keep you for a year. One slaying of a goat or a bull or an ox would take away the sin as they placed the sins on the scapegoat and took the scapegoat to the wilderness. And there, that sin for that year was pardoned and never remembered anymore. But it was a continual offering. And by this method, Satan, knowing the weakness of the law in the flesh, not in the spirit now, because the law is wholesome and the law is good, and they that despise the law will die without mercy. And so then, if this is, I would have not known sin except the law had said, so the law is still a schoolmaster to direct my feet to the plan of redemption and covenant promise. And I'm so delighted to know and to understand the great mysteries of the book of Leviticus as it applies to the book of Ruth, where it is now expressed in kinship. Let's look at the purchase price and the illustration of our Redeemer, how he paid the debt to set us free from the law of sin and death. Man, I'm telling you, by redeeming the aspects of fallen man, Ruth is nothing more than a microcosm of the overall picture that is displayed, because it serves three purposes. First, number one, that we do have a Redeemer. Number two, it sets in order that the law and what it was weak in was not able to redeem us from the curse of those who hang on a tree. Cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. Our Messiah, our Savior, our kinsman redeemer. And you know what the scribes and the Pharisees said? Come, let us kill him. This is the heir. Then we can possess the kingdom. Oh, they knew. There was a people that knew the plan from the word get-go. Satan himself knew the master plan. But he finally maneuvered on the chessboard of genetics that the last and final move, after the heavens were searched and no one found worthy, Yahweh himself, it pointed to him as the only remaining. Oh, hallelujah. I get happy preaching this message. He's the only one that contains the ransom blood that is required to cover the sin of his sons and daughters upon the earth to redeem them back into kingdom covenant principle. And I'm glad to say, looking back and considering these things that we do consider, I'd like to go back, first of all, to the book of Psalms and give you the scripture that will actually blow you away if you're a Bible student. If you're a searcher of scripture, you're hunting truth, you're looking for reasons and ways to exclaim that you are, as the scripture said, not born of the blood of man. You see, flesh and blood is now excluded from contract. Although there is a bloodline that has to be included, and this blood was the covering atonement, and it only could flow from the veins of one person. And this was Almighty, Eternal Yahweh, was the only one acceptable in the kingdom court justice system that could nullify the sin penalty that was imposed by himself to stop the flow of the serpent seed from crawling or climbing up through the genetic annals of flesh and blood back to kingdom principles. Satan had this in mind: I will exalt my throne and my seed, my children, my offspring. You see, I didn't know that Satan had any offspring. That's where we go wrong, but not realizing that Satan and the angelic host, in their attributes, was implanted the seed purposes of procreation, although they were given a strict, rigid command. Not to marry or give to be given in marriage, but to be guardian angels, if you will, watchers of the handiwork of a lower just a little more species that was to come into the earth to rule the earth. And there is where the weakness of the angelic host that fell, one third of them, ladies and gentlemen, were cast to the earth through lust. The book of Jude talks about it. The book of Revelation, the book of Enoch expresses it. No wonder they left that powerful book of expose out. They didn't want you to know that there was a royal bloodline battle going on centuries before Genesis 1 and 1. Well, let me give you something here to think about. In the book of Job, there is a passage of scripture that will just knock your socks off with Revelation. It is something that is powerful and awesome to even consider that this could be a remote, let alone just a remote chance that this would happen. And it's recorded in the book of Job, chapter 19. And we're going to start at verse 23. Remember, Leviticus 25:25 is our base text tonight, where the kinsman redeemer enters in to make a redemptive purchase buyback for the poor, wretched person that was forced to sell off his rights to his divine kingdom covenant principles. In a sense, that's what happened. Adam lost his right. Now the earth is cursed for his sake. It would not yield to him. In the sweat of his face, he must earn his keep. He must labor and strive through the four seasons. Remember, before that, he had an eternal body of flesh and blood. Now, from what source was this blood, this congealed white blood, from what source did that blood that Adam had flowing in his original veins, where did it come from? This is the whole mystery wrapped up in the Kinsman Redeemer Redemption series. You'll hear it exclusively here on the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy, who has been anointed to preach you in the last days from the covenant house of Joseph. A revelation that will bring forth a new beginning, a new purpose with new information, things that are kept secret from the foundation of the world. The Father has anointed me with the Holy Ruach to bring forth the message in the last days, to bring forth the sons of Joseph onto the scene that they might restore kinship, leadership back to the blind house of Israel, and proclaim throughout all of the earth that there is a royal bloodline, a seed, that is a gate, a floodgate now open to the house of Israel. And the key is David and his offspring. We're going to combine the book of Samuel and the book of Ruth and the book of Job, and the book of Psalms, and the book of Revelations, to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that the original blood giver to Adam, the progenitor of Adam and Abel, is now proclaiming through his sons that the covenant of birthright redeeming ability is now being restored to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, it's too late for Satan to oppose or to withstand or to hold back this flood of information, for the day has come and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and whosoever is athirst, let him come and drink of the water of life freely that flows from the fountain of redemptive covenant with the lost sheep of the house of Israel, now being reinstated through divine covenant principles to preach the gospel and turn Jacob, as it is recorded in Romans 11:25 and 26, to turn Jacob from his ungodliness. Now, you have long believed and held this, and most of the churches are still preaching it, long after the revelation, this revelation has gone forth for the last 12 years. This is the 12th year that I've preached this divine covenant, birthright revelation that Christ was not a Jew. I have a $5,000 reward for anyone that can prove the bloodline of Christ back to Judah. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility. Number one, because, and we'll list the reasons why that it couldn't be, because the Son, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the kinsman, must come from birthright blood. And Judah didn't have any. Now let me repeat this. Judah brought forth kings out of his loins. That was a prophetic utterance that Judah would become the master tribe in the house of Israel. There is two houses here. They're split. They're divided. They're separated. But there shall come a gospel, when it's put in place, will have to reestablish dominion and territorial and redemptive covenant principles back in order. Because Satan and his angels have spread the false illusion that Christ was a Jew and that the Jews are God's chosen people so that he could hide the serpent seed among the house of Judah as scribes and Pharisees. Ladies and gentlemen, the implication of this message is so powerful and so soft. We don't have guns and knives and staves to minister this gospel. We just have a poor voice from a poor priesthood preaching with the things made available and the love and support of people who believe in this message that uphold it in tithes and offerings to get the message out by covenant redemption principles of truth. Now the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. From such turn away. We must return back to Israel and look for the birthright tribe and then find the Messiah. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this much. If the Messiah that was supposed to, and it was written about here, that came 2,000 years ago, now looking back, approximately 2,000 years ago, a man came into the world to save sinners, the Bible said, to make a redemptive buyout of the purchase that was surrendered to Satan by default. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan had the keys of hell and death. And this marvelous individual, where was he from? What was his nationality? Everybody in the Christendom world, 99% of your people believe that he was a Jew. And indeed, he was not. This is debatable and provable that Christ was not a Jew, had not one drop of blood in his veins as a Jew. And let me clear up some of the other misconceptions. Abraham was not a Jew, Isaac was not a Jew, and neither was Jacob. The word Jew comes from the Hebrew word given in its fullness for the tribe of Yehuda. And it means actually praisers of Yah. But there is not one covenant relation, kinship, redemptive power promise of Scripture made to that tribe. Although it is a great, magnanimous, magnificent, glorious, royal tribe. But they are no different than the tribe of Issachar, which was a definite royal tribe, or Asher, who served dainties to the kings, and as the Bible would tell us, we're all kings. As the Vikings come storming on to the shores of France, and when they invaded and subdued, and the people cried out to the Vikings for their leadership and their power base of kingship, they asked them, who's your king? And the great Viking Aryan gladiators all looked at one another and looked back at the foolish individual that had asked that question. And they all laughed and roared and said, we're all kings. And that's exactly what we are. If we are the royal blood of the 13 chosen tribes, everyone in that tribe is a priest and a high priest of a Melchizedek covenant. But we've long been wrapped up under the shadow of the Levitical, where we bear burdens, great burdens of sin. And the Bible said, those that place them there will not take one finger to lift them off, because they want a pious, broke down, ignorant, fearful, superstitious people to believe the lie that Christ was a Jew. And ladies and gentlemen, it certainly is not true. Christ and his birthright came from the covenant, redemptive birthright tribe of the house of Joseph. Now, to do that, we've got to prove his bloodline. That's what we're going to do. That's why this series of tapes will be so valuable to your possession. Proving once and for all, beyond the shadow of a doubt, putting your fingers right on the scriptures that says that we have a kinsman redeemer from the house of Joseph. And he must be from the house of Joseph before he can have any authorization of kinship redeemer. Remember, he has to be close kin to birthright. Jacob was in the birthright line. Isaac was in the birthright line. But Judah was not. I'm going to repeat that. Isaac, the promise was made to Isaac, not to Abraham. Think about that. Skip that point right there. Get in the reality of the real zone of truth. It was Isaac that the covenant promise was made to, not to Abraham. Now from Isaac and to Jacob, and to whom Jacob bestowed that birthright, the sonship, the Shiloh, the King of Kings, the kinsman redeemer will come from that bloodline. And if he didn't come through that bloodline 2,000 years ago, you can bank on this one thing and bank for sure. You can wrap it and take it to the bank. It'll keep till the real Messiah stands up in Israel. If he didn't come from Joseph, then he hadn't come. If there was a Savior Redeemer come from the house of Judah, he has no authorization of kinship to redeem under birthright covenant contract that is written in the just laws of Yahweh, and none of them can be broken. Everything must be fulfilled. Every jot and every tittle must be manifest in reality of passing the approval of Yahweh. Now, get a load of this. Verse 24, Job. And there were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. Our rock, our redeemer, written and engraved in a pen in the heart as a kinsman redeemer. Now, listen to what Job said. Did he ever have a revelation? You know, the book of Job is reputed to be, and most Bible scholars will agree, that the book of Job is the most ancient book ever bound in leather. That it far outdates Genesis 1 and 1. Isn't that incredible? Listen to what he said. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Amazing. Job, before Genesis 1 and 1, an old book, a prophet that knew that there would be come into this earth in the latter days a kinsman redeemer, and that would redeem his contract with the Father. Even Job had a hope. Isn't that marvelous? Listen as we continue on. Verse 26. And though after my skin worms destroy this body. Here's where he made an amazing statement. Job, ancient Job, done dead, many dead, dead thousands, perhaps literally hundreds of thousands of years ago, possibly. Here's what he said. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Ladies and gentlemen, was Job one of those that stood? Of Adam, and redeem. Remember, there's two phases of aspect to redemption. One is to redeem the covenant and the people under it. The other is to make an avenging on the blood that's been shed. And you know what Yahweh Yeshua said? That the servants who would not let him rule over them, and those who would break ranks and violate his covenant, bring them here before me and slay them in my presence. The avenger, he fulfills both contracts, ladies and gentlemen, and he had to be out of the royal house of Joseph to do so. We've long been led that the Jews are God's chosen people, and we've fell susceptibly into the great trap of the lie of those that say they are Jews and are not. We've been made to believe that we're dumb Gentiles by misappropriating the Strong's word, 1484 in the Greek, where if you look, it's anethnos, a particular group of people, not a mass exodus of togetherness of heathen, but sheep, kinsman redeemed material. Go not unto the Gentiles, proving there's a difference between the sheep and the Gentiles. You think they went after the Jews? You think the Jews are the only sheep that the Father's got and the rest of us is Gentiles? Have you been led to believe that lie from the bell box? Most people have. We all fall victim to tradition. And to believe a lie is quick, but to believe the truth, we have to struggle, we have to pray. Every time people hear my message, I say, Pastor Buddy, I'm so confused. I don't know what to do. I'm so troubled in mind and heart and spirit. And yet when they go to a Billy Graham crusade or others like that, they come just as they are, with their brain in park, their pocketbook open, and their willingness to pay to have their soul soothed with enticing words of men's wisdom, cream-puffed, sugar-coated, and the meat of the truth of the gospel, which is a hard saying, and who can hear it? Because those that get on the straight and narrow way can't make no friends. You come to make friends, you come to make enemies, you come to separate you from the world, your mother, your brother, your sister, or anything else that would get in the way of your tedious journey on the narrow path. Broad is the way and wide is the gate. And the many there be that go on in the Christian folds of sugar-coated religion of the same right way. Say, oh, Pastor Buddy, if you weren't so hard and if you didn't demand the exact payment and if we didn't have to do something, I don't want to cause any trouble in my family. Ladies and gentlemen, there'll be a day coming you wish you had. It should separate yourself from even your mother, from the breast that you have suckled. He that loveth father or mother more than he loves the word of Yahweh is not worthy to walk in the shoe leather of the great men of the past that have fallen for the record that they declared. We're talking about the kinsman redeemer here. Job said, I'll see him in my flesh. Was Job living when the Messiah stood 2,000 years ago? If Job was thousands of years older than the time when Christ was to come, and he was long dead and the skin worms devoured his body, do you believe that he was standing there somewhere in the crowd? Could he have been one of the apostles? Ladies and gentlemen, some of the marvelous things here to be recorded. Now listen at this. In the book of Psalms, there is a magnificent scripture that I'll share with you as we go looking for the blood. Now we're going to look for the blood in this portion of the broadcast. But listen to this. Yahweh, Psalms 132, verse 11, mark it in your Bible. Remember, the key of David is laid upon the shoulders of him that came into the world. Unto us a child is born. This child had to be covenant redemptive, covenant redeemership, authorized by the Father and the law by saying that he had to come from the birthright family of God before he would have any ability. And if you read in the book of the covenant principle by the great prophet Jacob, Jacob is his name, Jacob, he prophesied in verse 22 that Joseph would be the fruitful bough. Remember now that the blood birthright covenant redemptive kinsman would fall on the shoulders of Joseph. Now Joseph was to pass this down to a firstborn. Well, there's a sort of a cross, if you will. The reason I love the Confederate flag and the 13 stars is the cross stands of Jacob is what it represents. From, modeled from, the flag of Scotland. And if you didn't know that by the Confederate flag and you're ashamed of it, it's a racial statement to fly the rebel flag. Well, down here in the South, it's standard issue. And I love it. I use it on all of my symbols, on all of my videos. I use the Confederate flag not as a racial statement as much as I use it to show that there was a covenant principle of the cross hands of my father, the great prophet Jacob, as he prophesied that the beloved son of his issue, offspring, would become the birthright son given to him forever and could not, no way, possibly void that contract. Although Satan and his angels had come in, reworked genealogy, they'd gone out of their way to make the covenant birthright look like it come out of the house of Judah. It's a lie of the serpent, it's a lie of the devil, and it's a continuous lie of the false prophets that teach it. I said, buddy, you're a bold little scutter. No, I'm not. I've just got the word on my side. The word will stop every mouth. But if you don't know the scripture, you can be hoodwinked and scootledooed into thinking that Jesus, as they call him, was a Jew, that Abraham was a Jew, Isaac was a Jew. And so then, I read a bumper sticker I was following the other day, and I thought, how ignorant, how poor, how stupid this man is in front of me. He turned out to be a woman. No reflection on that. But she had on the back of her bumper, my Savior is a Jewish carpenter. Well, that just came to my mind, Revelations 2 and 9. I know them that say they're Jews, and boy, what carpenters they are. They have built a lie upon the foundation of a lie and layered it with lies and propped it up with lies and keep telling them repeatedly because the bell box Zionist cause is preaching it every day. Following the lies of the deceptive, cunning craftiness of those that say they're Jews and are not, but the Bible says explicitly that they're liars. 3 and 9 is another witness in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. Let every word be established. Well, here it is in the 11th verse. And Yahweh hath sworn in truth. He didn't tell no lie. Unto David, he gives this. Now, if you go back to the first Chronicles, and look at the covenant principle. I'll read it to you just a minute when I finish this up, because there's an awesome scripture there that is displayed for all the people to see, and it is a divine birthright covenant revelation for all those to enjoin themselves to the principles of the divine covenant that is said that I will give the kingdom. This is 2 Chronicles. In the book of 2 Chronicles, I will give the 13:5, I will give this covenant to David and to his sons forever as a covenant of salt. Now, salt was a seal and preservative, and that covenant was a sure thing when salt was applied. You could rest assured when the covenant was sealed with salt, it was an eternal preservation before Yahweh forever. I swear unto David that of his flesh, or of his body, or of his blood, as it says in Psalms 132, I'll swear unto David, of the fruit of thy body will I sit upon thy throne. And, here he goes, if your children would keep my covenant. You see, we haven't kept it. That's why we went into sleep. We got bit by the adder of the poison of the serpent. We're bruised and swollen as a result of the damaging bite of a lie that was told and then made to believe, and thousands upon thousands of these Gentile preachers following the lie of the serpent. Oh my, I could go back in history how that lie got its base and foundation, and once a lie is repeated enough, it becomes truth, and truth becomes tradition, and tradition becomes an apostate doctrine against the truth of Yahweh, because the truth stands on its own merits. But it has to be declared by men of boldness, because there's a suffering effect behind the truth. You got to be willing to suffer to preach the truth. And they that live godly in the Messiah shall suffer persecution, and you can believe that. I have sworn to David of the fruit of his body. Now then, we go to Revelation 22:16. Run up there real quick, and we'll find that Christ changes drastically. This statement is to knock you down. This statement is one of the most astounding statements ever recorded in the gospel for the covenant principle of salt covenant offspring of Yahweh. It is one that actually disturbs the very fabric core of the foundation of churchianity. Are we here to tear down the church? No, we're there to empty the churches. They're nothing but cesspools of man's imagination and tradition. Easter bunnies and things of this nature. Oh, it's a farce. It is a far cry from the truth of the gospel. Notice what it says here in the book Gospel of Revelation chapter 22. And we're going to go quick because we're running quickly out of time. Now how time flies. I wish I had 4 hours to never stop. To even take a drink of water. I could preach to you 4 hours on this subject and the half wouldn't be told. In Revelation, decoded form of the truth that was hidden from the foundation of the world, now being made manifest in your presence, if you're listening tonight on WWCR around the world, on the mighty voice of Shortwave. I have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the church age. The ecclesiastical church age. I am the root and the offspring of David. When he says, before I am a offspring, I am the root of it. And no wonder now that Pastor Buddy can offer $5,000 for anybody that can prove that David was a Jew or had one drop of Jewish blood in his veins. Just ain't so. David had to be from the birthright tribe of Joseph. And the Bible says he is. But people won't believe it. I can point it out to him. I can get him to look up the Strong's number. And so, I always thought he was a Jew, and my pastor told me not to pay no attention to you, glory to God, and he never heard no such foolishness in all of his life, and anybody that had common sense would know that Jesus was a Jew. Well, that's the reaction I get most of the time. But there is the elite, the cream of the crop. When they hear Pastor Buddy preach, they get their Bibles. They shake off the dust. They shake all the valuable papers out of it. They dust it off. Instead of going to church and sleeping and hoodwinking through the service, they don't even have to open their Bible. There's nothing to open it for. They open preachers open a text. They take a text in and now have you follow through a little Sunday school narrative that they give and spell out little stuff that children on milk could understand. No wonder the sheep are asleep in Zion. No wonder that the watchmen on the wall need to shout and spare not and lift up the sword and the trumpet at the same time and sound the alarm that there is convictions and truth in the house of Israel, and that in the last days Yahweh will restore that which the caterpillar and the cankerworm has destroyed by infectious deceit of the lion serpent that came to deceive the whole world and even those that are of kingship quality, to rock them to sleep. But the scripture says, when the voice of the shepherd is heard, the sheep will hear his voice, and a stranger, they will not follow. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want the truth, the nothing but the truth, you've got to believe that our Messiah was the root of David. That means he was the progenitor of the bloodline of David. He's the one that started. The root is the beginning of the bloodline of the house of David. Now, you can trace it either way. You can trace it back to Adam, or you can trace it back to the apostolic days of the gospel that was recorded in what we call New Covenant principle. By being rightly divided and set in order, we have a new covenant according to Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them. It's a redemptive covenant. No longer will the law apply because the law, weak in the flesh, could not and would not do because there was no one worthy to offer up his blood. And so the blood of an animal substitute until the blood, the literal root blood of David, died and rose again. And he said, I'm alive forevermore and I'm the bright and the morning star. Oh, that bright in the morning star, how the day star will dawn in your heart when you hear the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, my time is all just flipped out of here and got gone from me. But I have certainly enjoyed being with you tonight in part four of the royal bloodline. Do you see where I'm getting at? Yahweh himself is the progenitor of the sons of Yah. I notice this very important scripture that is recorded back here in the First Chronicles chapter 5. And verse 1. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn. Remember, it was the firstborn that was redeemed by Yahweh and claimed. That was Yahweh's son. So that he could bestow upon the firstborn the blessing covenant birthright for the families to succeed and to inherit the property or the land rights or the blessing packs that come through firstborn. It just so happens to be of the 12 sons of Jacob that the 11th son was the final solution to a problem that persisted in the house of Israel. What was it? Incest and fornication. A simple sin of sexual nature that separated the first, the four sons and more, but the first four from the house of Leah. That would be Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. These first four, for various reasons that I've gone into on the Serpent Seed series, they were excluded from birthright privileges. They had no birthright. I'm sorry to say, as much as you would like to hear me say, that Judah is the birthright tribe, and that from him will come the Messiah, but it's not so. But we've been made to believe that. We teach that every day. You hear the Sunday school teachers teaching that. You know why? Because certain people that have wrote Bibles or been authors to put in their notes, and I can name several, but I won't get into name calling here, but there are several editions, that man has put his opinions in here. And he's actually swayed the conscious thought of collective ministers as they go in search. Because they're not called and gifted. They have to get up and they have to search and follow after man's opinions and look at documentaries and things of this nature, of historical facts that, as man has wrote it. And they base all of that on the truth of the gospel, and it's not so. They don't even know how to rightly divide the scripture. Can't save themselves, let alone those who hear them. They deceive themselves and them that will hear them. That's what their mission is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in that chapter, you'll find that Satan and his angels and his ministers have transformed their transformations of liars into truth. They have expertly hid, coded, and it started with the scribes and the Pharisees. Christ told us to beware of them, and the scribes is the ones that told you that Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea, not the prophet. It was the scribes and the Pharisees that laid precedent that Judah was the master tribe, the birthright tribe, and from him would come the Messiah. They had people believing that, and they got people believing that today, especially those that call themselves Gentiles that are saved through Christ, or at least they think they are. They'd be given a false bill of goods in a seem-right way. Instead of being saved, they're deceived, and by being deceived, they deceive others because the Bible says they'll compass land and sea to convert one proselyte, and when they do, they make him twofold more of the child of hell than he was to begin with. And ladies and gentlemen, we are in that era of time when many people are being deceived through mass media, hypnotic trances of these prophets and preachers, that handy dans, these slick willies, they get out of here and they blow on the people. They have great crusades, as long as it's a pay and pray scheme. Open your pocketbook, pay, and then we'll pray you into heaven. And so that came right from Catholicism. And you see those that jumped out of Catholicism thinking that they were keeping the true Sabbath like the SDA, who say they're keeping Saturday because the Jews kept it, and that's the real Sabbath, and that's the one that Jesus kept. That's not true. That's Saturn Day, the Gregorian calendar, and those that follow that blindly don't even know when the Sabbath comes. That's how deceived they are. They jumped out of the frying pan and got into the fire. And so goes the story of those that are deceived. Out of the frying pan, into the fire. Not much difference, folks. When you're boiling the water and the frog don't know that the water's going to get hot enough eventually to cook his cooker or whatever. Praise Yahweh. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright. Oh, it just skips everybody. And the whole tribe, the whole clan gets missed here. We skip from the first son. We omit the second son, third son, fourth son, fifth son, sixth son, seventh son, eighth son, ninth son, tenth son, till we get to the 11th son, and then the 11th son is issued a blessing upon his shoulders. His name is Joseph, and he gets the birthright. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if Joseph was a Jew, pardon me, because I've misunderstood the Bible all along, and maybe you could help me. Joseph was not Jewish. The Messiah that came from the blood of Joseph was not Jewish, and he was not no Jewish carpenter, like the woman's bumper sticker said. These are the lies of the heathen and the blind Israelites that don't know that they're chosen ones, who will later repent and come out of her. And that's what we're asking. Come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sin, for sin is reached up into heaven. But Judah prevailed above his brethren. Oh, he prevailed. You know what that word? Bully. He ruled over. He's the largest tribe. That word prevail, if you look it up, means exactly what it says. And out of him came the chief rulers. And they did. They came out of the house of Judah. They were ruling when Christ was there. And they told him so. But he said, beware of them. But the birthright was Joseph's. Oh, that hurts. That puts a crimp in the armor of those that have dressed themselves up in the false armor. It rips the armor off their shoulders and it makes bare the lie that they believed and told and retold and converted people to believe that Christ was a Jew, when in reality he was from the birthright bloodline covenant redemptive power pact sworn oath of Yahweh himself. Yahweh himself was the final. He was the root beginning of the bloodline, and he was the final bloodline descendant from heaven, because he was not only the offspring of David, and he was the son of David, all right, of his flesh. He swore to David, I will swear, because I can swear by no greater, swear by myself, that I will come and redeem through covenant near kinsman principles. And ladies and gentlemen, I haven't even got into the book of Ruth, where I was hoping I'd get to tonight, to prove the bloodline. And we'll do that before you on the series. And if you'd like to hear the conclusion matter, we'd be preaching the continuation of this message on other media exchanges. So if you'd like to have the whole 8 set tapes right here, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me tonight, I'm free for the evening. Call me up and talk to me. Area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to email me, buddy1@centurytale.net. That's buddy1@centurytale.net. Now, that's all the address you'll need. Let me give it to you in case you missed it. That's Pastor Buddy. I want you to get the letter in the mail to me. I'd like to hear from you. Tuck in there some support. Praise Yahweh. We got a wonderful blessing this week from a brother down south in Dixie. And it was a magnanimous blessing, a magnanimous help for us. Praise Yahweh. And so we're so thankful for those who will reach out and touch the gospel for the gospel's sake and for the truth's sake. You see, we're not loved by many people, but we are appreciated by a few. Praise God. Now, if you'd like to write me, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And, of course, my telephone number, area code 423-626-2172. And if you'd like to give me a call, just give me a call. I'll see you next Sunday night on the Mighty Voice, WWCR around the world, with the Shepherd's Call. Pastor Buddy.
Thank you.